I'm just going to show you the difference only in kind and degree. Sure it does. Unless you can make something distinctive about Satan's powers that human beings don't have, and you can show me how this is qualitatively different, we don't have any right to say his powers are qualitatively different. I'm saying they're only quantitatively different. He's a better deceiver. He's got more psychosomatic powers, but it's still psychosomatic power, and he's got a lot more troops helping him out. He's not ubiquitous. He's not omnipresent and all of that. But if I had all those troops, and if I had all that smarts that he has, and if I was, between death and resurrection, just a spirit floating around, I could do the same type of things he could. Nothing wrong with verifying your view. No, I'm saying that you can't argue from ignorance. You have to make some difference to make a difference. My argument from ignorance is no argument at all. What are these powers that Satan has? What are they? So can our spirits. Our spirit isn't us? I mean, granted, while we're in the body, you could see our body. But you can't see my spirit. And I have a spirit, and my spirit will survive. When my body goes in the grave, my spirit will survive, and you won't be able to see it if you're in the body either. So, that's no difference. Well, you can't see my spirit, you can't see his spirit. Granted, but that's just saying that we're in the body, and Satan's not in a body. But when our spirits aren't in a body, they're not limited to a body any more than your spirit between death and resurrection is limited to a body.
But isn't that later on? We're talking right now.
I'll grant you that right now in a body. I can't do what you can't do when you're in a body. So what does that prove? Nothing.
Are there any of these so-called supernatural miracles that Satan can do? Are there any that he does that are not singular? I seem to get two categories here. One is what Satan can do, miracles that are somehow lesser.
No, my argument is that whether you call it miracle B or supernormal, that Satan can't do any of these things here that we just put. Therefore, all the things he does are really just simulating, faking, etc., by his super scientific or his super deceptive powers. I don't see any problem there. If you're a spirit, why you can't do that? Why can't a super spirit do that? If you're not limited to a body and you're a super spirit, why can't you do that?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, are we the same as angels except we have a body?
Our spirits are the same as angels except the body, yes.
So our spirits could do the same thing that
as spirits if we weren't limited to a body.
By definition, Satan has no body.
And indeed, that's what Matthew 22:30 says in the resurrection, where neither will be as angels.
Sure.
Yeah. Scripture. I think he can, but I don't think, I think he does it only when invited. I think you have to yield to it. I don't think you can just float around and get in there. That's why if you don't yield it up to someone else, but so can a hypnotist get in your mind. If you yield to a hypnotist, he can control you, make you do all sorts of dumb things. Why? Because you've yielded under the power of suggestion to his mind, and he's giving you commands, and you're doing all these things that you wouldn't normally have done otherwise by yielding to his mind. Now think of Satan as the super hypnotist who takes people who yield to him and gets them to do all sorts of interesting things. Which doctors would fall in that category?
Would possession under this definition be when he controls the mind to such an extent that it controls the body too?
Yeah.
Like you're talking about.
Right. That. Possession is he's getting on the inside. It's not simply an external influence. You've actually and somehow invited him to the inside. He's taken over control there by your yielding to him, and then he's doing things that from the inside out. He has more power. He's a spirit, so he's not limited to a body. He has super intelligence. He has super finite power, super finite intelligence, and he's not limited to a body. And he is totally, perversely, and irrevocably evil. We are not totally, perversely, and irrevocably evil, even though we're totally depraved, because we're still redeemable, he's not. They're the main differences. And with those, you can explain all of the so-called supernatural things that he does.
Doesn't the fact that Satan is not tied to a body naturally make him above the human level that we're in now, because we are tied to a body, and therefore
sure.
attribute to him something similar that we attributed to God and one of the earlier premises that God is above human abilities?
No. The fact that Satan is beyond the physical, the mind, doesn't make him supernatural. It simply means that he's a spiritual being. But there are finite spiritual beings and there's one infinite spiritual being. And you still got to make that big gulf between them. Well, this is a fascinating topic. Up until a few years ago, I'd have been arguing exactly the same way you're arguing. I've come a long route through this whole thing, and I argued vociferously up until a few years ago that Satan had the supernormals. When I taught angelology here, when I first came to Dallas 10 years ago, I was teaching exactly the same thing that you're saying now. It's only my research in the last 5 years and seeing what's going on, and the more deeply I look into it, the more I'm convinced that we're way overselling Satan's powers. Whatever you want to call them, be sure and preserve this unique, infinite, overpowering, special creation, resurrection powers for God. Otherwise, we destroy the whole value of miracles in the Bible and exalt Satan on a level that the Bible never exalts him to.
It seems like there's a thing on the gospel confusion to us with the fact that we don't have, it seems like the confusion today was that we didn't have a clear definition of miracle. We just thought a miracle is something that's either not physical or something we don't understand. We need to clearly define what a miracle is. And like you said, a miracle defined as such, by its very definition, precludes the fact that any created being could perform a miracle.
If a miracle is an act of God, it does. And that's how we're defining it.
Specifically with those elements in terms of calling into existence that which does not exist, having control over that, creating life.
What is really unique about a miracle? I mean, it's one thing to define it as an act of God. The next question is, give me some empirically, historically identifiable earmarks that I can tell which one is an act of God and which one isn't. And I think there are some. I think there are really four of those. And I don't want to go into them in detail now, but they're all clearly spelled out in the New Testament. You do an exegetical study of miracles in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, you'll find that miracles have four characteristics in distinction, and that no satanic sign nor human magic comes up with all these characteristics. They emulate some. One or two of them they can emulate well, but they cannot emulate all of them, and that is the miracle is always immediate, it's never gradual, it's always successful, never fails, there's never a relapse, and it always is used to confirm a new revelation. Now, Satan can once in a while come up with things that are pretty immediate. He can get some healings, and I'll explain that later, how he does it, but he can't heal all kinds of sicknesses 100% of the time, immediately, with no relapse. There's no one that can do that. No healer's alive, and Satan doesn't do that either. Then, of course, the confirmation of the new revelation. So if there weren't these kind of earmarks for a miracle, then a miracle wouldn't be able to do exactly what the Bible says it can do. What does the Bible say a miracle can do? Hebrews 2:4. Confirm the message. John 3. We know that you are a man come from God, because no one can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Acts 2:22. Jesus, a man confirmed of God by signs and wonders. Now, miracles wouldn't have that confirmative power to point to Christ as the unique Son of God if they weren't unique. Because if Satan can do those same type of things, then, of course, the type of things that happened to Christ are not unique, and he might just be another occult leader, another New Ager, a guru from the first century. Now, where did you assume that we were saying Satan could be at several places at the same time?
Are you saying that?
I'm not.
Okay.
No. He's not limited to a body, but that doesn't mean he's ubiquitous or omnipresent. I think he is not ubiquitous or omnipresent. And I don't think Satan as a person can be simultaneously working in two people at the same time who are in different places. That's where he simulates ubiquity. He simulates ubiquity by the fact that he has so many troops. And they're all over, and he's in charge of them, and they have a central intelligence agency, clearinghouse for it, and he simulates ubiquity and omnipresence, but it's really just a super intelligence agency is all. And as we all know, KGB, CIA, they're all fallible. And we don't know everything that's going on in the world, neither do the Russians, and neither does Satan. Okay, any other thoughts as it relates to this topic? Yeah, all I'm saying there is that a miracle, by definition in the Bible, the use of the word sign, wonder, and power, and especially these used in connection, which is the equivalent of miracle. What we mean by miracle is the biblical use of sign, wonder, and power. That though that kind of miracle always is a visible external confirmation type of thing, and that regeneration and other supernatural things are not visible external confirmation type things. Here are a couple examples of things. So if you drew a circle this way, let's say that circle is a supernatural. Miracle is a circle inside the supernatural, and outside of it are things like creation. The original creation was not a miracle, it was supernatural. And regeneration. And I don't have an exhaustive list in my mind, but there would be a couple examples of supernatural events that aren't technically miracles in the sense that they are external signs. The original creation couldn't have been, because there was nobody there for it to signify anything to. And it wasn't confirming any message that God had given. No, I said not every supernatural thing is a miracle. All miracles are supernatural, but not all supernatural things are miracles. I don't think so. Well, let me give a yes or no answer to it to make a distinction. He can read your mind the way, only better, that your wife can read your mind. In other words, he knows so much about you, and the way you act and behave, and the expressions on your face, and all of that, that he can pretty well do. Except he's better at it than your wife, because he has super intelligence and he's smarter at reading those signs. And by the way, the magicians who do the ESP stuff, how do they do it? They do it by reading body language. I mean, there are many ways to do it, but one of the ways is reading body language. They're very good at reading body language. And certain people reveal their body language, and they look around an audience, and they can pretty well tell. If they came in this room and looked around, they could pretty well tell you which of you would make the best candidate for their experiments by your body language. You know? And so they do that. I think that's how Satan does. But in the sense of getting inside our mind and reading what's going on in our consciousness, no, unless you're demon-possessed and he's already in there. In fact, then he's probably creating what's going on there by ticking off the neurons, and so he knows in the sense of what he's going to do, and so he's reading your mind because it's his mind that has become your mind.
Satan do that to everybody, or truths are able to do that to everybody?
Not Satan personally. Satan personally can only operate on one person at a time. And I don't think any of us have been important enough to God's cause that Satan has ever bothered any of us. I mean, we would be flattering ourselves to think that Satan spent any time on us. In fact, he doesn't need to spend any time on us. Someone said the world and the flesh, our own lust takes care of us. And Satan is working through that indirectly, but no, I don't think he's spent any time with us. Yeah, and he threw an inkwell at him. I mean, all this stuff. Luther may have been important enough for Satan to tamper with. I mean, he definitely, Luther was upsetting Satan's apple cart, so I wouldn't deny Luther one appearance or two of Satan. Well, help yourself if you want to exalt Satan. I'm not underestimating the opponent. I mean, he's got a lot of troops. And I think that Satan does that, and I was just about to diagram the answer here. Here I am, however I live in the flesh. And the flesh is part of a whole world system, and the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. So here's how I diagram the New Testament truth about the world, flesh, and the devil related to the believer. Satan works through the world system, through our flesh, to get to us. So every time I engage in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, which is all there is in the world, Satan's getting to me. The whole world lies in his lap. But I don't think you should diagram it this way. Here's Satan, here's the world, here's the flesh, and we've got three enemies out there, and they're all attacking the believer. I think that diagram misrepresents the New Testament, and it's very dangerous for the Christian life, because a lot of people think, well, the world can get to me, and the flesh can get to me, but Satan can't get to me. Satan, through his troops, through his whole plan, which is this world system, and this world system is opposed to God, and is constantly appealing to the flesh. You turn on the TV, you drive by a billboard, and this whole world is reaching out. Lust, lust, pride, pride. It's all grabbing you all the time, saying, be proud, be lustful. So that's all Satan doing that. But it's not Satan personally, individually coming to me and say, Geisler, look at that beautiful woman over there. You know, he doesn't have to do that to me. I got enough lust in me. I got enough lust in me that he doesn't need to give any personal attention to that at all. All right, any further? This is not a course in demonology, but just suddenly turned into one here. In fact, just the whole UFO thing. Is in that same category to me. The fact that we cannot explain by our natural laws now how that kind of phenomena could occur doesn't mean that Satan can't now do that by utilizing natural laws.
See, the church has never recovered from the embarrassment of referring us to the church. He was a very religious
tent.
No, the whole universe circles
right
there.
Here's what we have said, we Christians, in that same vein down through the years. God must cause the bumblebee to fly because of supernatural. They got too small of wings for the size of their body. Now we know how bumblebees fly. God must cause every earthquake. God must cause every tornado. God must cause the eclipse of the moon. God causes meteors. All these that were said to be miracles. We will never make it to the moon. The world is square. You know, it's about time we learned from those lessons that what we called supernatural wasn't supernatural at all, and we just set up the stage for the next deception. I sometimes think that, in fact, I have a little bit, in our new book coming out on the New Age movement that Jeff Amano and I are doing, we have a chapter on this very thing. I think the whole question of the seduction of Christianity that Dave Hunt is doing, I think in one sense, that is all being used by Satan to seduce people. In other words, is it possible that the people who are warning most about Satan could most easily fall prey to satanic deception? And I'm answering that question affirmatively for several reasons. One, they're bringing all this attention to Satan. Two, they're giving all this press to Satan. He loves all of that. They're giving all this power to Satan. He loves that too. And they're saying these things are supernatural, and he loves that, being placed in the same category as God. And when we find out that they're only natural, we're already set up for the deception of the next stage, where Satan comes along and does something. So I'm backing off all of that and hanging in with Danny Corm and Andre Cole, who are really with the original theologians. Almost all the classical theologians said the same thing. If you want to read a good section on it, there's a good section in Aquinas in the Summa Theologica, where they raised these very same questions and answered them hundreds of years ago.